Hey, bee lovers. Welcome to the best beekeeping podcast around, To Be or Not to Be in the Bee Yard. Join our two beekeepers, Rebecca and Michelle, as they make beekeeping fun and uncomplicated. Double the beekeeping experience, double the opinions, double the fun.
Hello.
Hello.
So we are on location.
We are.
We have left the great state of Texas and have moved into the great state of Louisiana.
Woohoo!
We're here for the Louisiana Bee Conference.
Yes, dinner was really good. Where did we go?
Place called Buckets something something.
Buckets.
Buckets O'Malley. I don't know. Buckets.
It was good.
Yeah, it was really good.
It was good.
I like the crab finger things.
Oh, those were delicious.
Yes.
The pickles were good too.
Yeah.
I like the beer. Can't remember what I drank, but it was good.
I don't know, dirty mud bugs or dirty laundry or something. Dirty bath water.
With an orange.
It had an orange.
It had an orange in it. It was
good. I don't even remember what mine was called.
Did you like yours?
Yeah.
Oh, was it an IPA?
Sure. People say that to me all the time, and I don't know what, I know what it stands for, but I don't know what that means.
It's really, really hoppy. It's like hoppy.
I think it was an IPA. I am a Shiner fan.
Oh.
I like Ruby Red.
Okay.
I like regular Shiner. I do not like the Holiday Cheer.
Oh my gosh, that's the only one I like.
Oh. They have a Prickly Pear, which I like. I like the Blonde.
Yeah.
I like Dallas Blonde. I like, we have some local breweries that they do stuff that I like.
Yeah.
I like cider. And I like.
Have you tried Temptress?
No.
Okay.
I'm not a huge beer fan. If I'm going to have a drink, I have a gin drink.
Ah, okay.
Which is what I fell in love with when I was on my trip. But anyway. I really had a newfound appreciation for that. So,
oh, I bet it was nice over there.
It was. It was very good.
Yeah, that's where you should be drinking it.
Yeah, exactly. I should be back there drinking.
Okay, so I'm looking at the agenda.
Well, hang on a second.
Okay.
I am Michelle.
Oh.
We did it again.
Who cares?
People are like, I don't know who these women are.
Who are these crazy women talking?
I don't know.
I'm Rebecca.
And we are To Be or Not to Be.
Yes. On location.
On location. In Pineville, Louisiana.
Pineville, Louisiana. This is awesome. So you did not tell me what time I needed to get up until after we made the reservations.
No, no.
You called me. And in 5 minutes, we had a hotel room and we had convention tickets purchased.
Now, see, this is where I feel that as you were the one who went and got the convention tickets while I got the hotel.
I did.
I would have assumed that you would have looked at.
No, did I not tell you when you called me, I had six things going on, plus I was going out looking at bees.
Right.
And I said, I will get this done. When you hear that from me, I will get that done. That means you're in line. It's like the drive-thru. Okay. You're in line. I'm not going to forget. I will get to you. And I didn't order them actually until like midnight before I went to bed. And what time did you call me?
It was 7.
Yeah. I mean, you were in line,
right?
But it took me like 5 hours to get to you.
And then you forwarded me 4 emails.
Everything that they sent me.
Right.
I
However,
said, I don't want to be responsible for this.
I looked at one of those emails and saw that everything started at 8 in the morning.
No,
and
I didn't even look at it. I just said, I did my job. You wanted to go. You said, do you want to go? I said, yes. And you said, get tickets. I did it. I did everything I was supposed to do.
And when I looked at that, I thought, 8 a.m., Rebecca. Because that means we actually have to go eat breakfast at 7.
We have to get up at like 5.
Right.
I'm like, why go to bed?
Right. Oh, dear God. And so I'm like,
8 o'clock. But this is crazy. Registration opens at 8.
However, the keynote speaker doesn't start till 10.
He doesn't start till 10. What does that mean? What am I going to be doing?
Networking?
Not in the morning.
You know those beekeepers are going to be down there with their coffee cups at 6:45. Mm,
I do need to go hit the vendors.
Right.
And go look at stuff before it gets sold out because I only bring a little bit and it ruins it for me. They're like, we'll mail it to you. No, I want it in my hot little hands that I have to carry around all day or take back up to my hotel room.
And then I want to drive home the whole way playing with it, putting it together.
Or wearing it if it's a t-shirt. I want to get a t-shirt.
Well, so. I need a t-shirt because I actually packed one less top than I needed because apparently I was debating on a top, but I took it out. So
I brought like six outfits.
Oh, dear Lord. Where are you going?
I didn't know.
Are you in the club?
Huh? I didn't know if we were going to go to dinner. I didn't know what we were going to do. I didn't know who we were going to meet. I didn't know who we were going to see. I thought, okay, and you got to be prepared.
Yeah, we're in our...
Okay, who is prepared? I am prepared to go anywhere.
Right. Did you do any B work today?
No, I had to clean my freaking house before I left or I was going to be in trouble.
With whom?
My husband.
What? Glenn. Why?
Because it was a mess. You could not see the kitchen sink. You couldn't see the counter. You couldn't see the couch. All of the clothes were there. The sheets needed to be washed.
Okay.
No. The floor. I had to go and work in Dallas three times this week.
That's unusual for you.
Yes, I was in Dallas quite a bit. And then I had to go and do bees. And then I had to go and deliver honey. And so, I mean, I was just running around.
And the reason I ask is because I went and did a small bee removal this morning. And so I went early, so I didn't really get sweaty. But I, you know, in my what I consider just work clothes, I mean, you're lucky I'm not wearing my cowboy boots with my shorts because I wear that when I have to go out in the field. So I thought I'm going to be in the car. It's 108. I'm just going. So then I was glad when I saw you because I was like, oh, thank God she's got a stain on her shirt. And then, of course,
I'm keeping it real.
Then, of course, we get here and we go to we run out to get something to eat. And every beekeeper in town is there, including all the ones from Texas that we know.
When we were driving down the highway, I said, oh, I don't want to eat at all these restaurants that we already eat at in Texas. I want to eat at a local place. Well, so did everybody else.
Right. Everybody showed up.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice to see everybody. I haven't seen everybody in quite a while because I have not been to a convention in a couple of years.
You know what my theory is about dressing up, don't you?
That you look better and feel better about yourself?
Stop. If I look bad all of the time, then on the 10% when I do dress up, people are shocked.
Okay. I can confirm that because Monday night I had a meeting to go to for a club. I'm actually a part of a club. Did you know that? I'm a part of the women's club in my little city.
Oh, I thought you're a part of the bee club.
No.
Oh, like the women's benefit league or something?
The women's club. It's a women's club. Oh, okay. It's in my city.
Heavens.
And they are adorable and I love them and I don't have to do anything. I just have to show up. I'm not organizing it.
Nice.
I'm not doing anything. It's so nice. But I showed up and I had my hair done and I had nice clothes on and I had makeup on and they didn't recognize me. And one of them kept looking at me, kept staring at me all night. And she goes, you clean up really well.
See, that's exactly my point.
And I thought, I'm not sure if I should take that as a compliment or not, but okay, thanks.
That is exactly my point. And people are shocked and surprised.
Yeah. So, okay, so who's on the agenda tonight? I mean, tomorrow morning.
Dr. Jamie Ellis.
Jamie Ellis. Yes, I do want to see him. Mm-hmm. So that would be nice. What is he talking about?
He is talking about queens.
What is killing honeybees and what can we do about it?
Right.
Okay. That's at 10. Oh, and then the USDA. Oh, yeah, that's right. Talking about bee breeding genetics.
Yes, we were going to
Now, that's really
that
interesting because you normally can't get that at a state level. So that's interesting. I like that one. Goodness, lunch is 2 hours long.
Right.
Woo. Okay.
Well, that's very interesting because the keynote speaker doesn't begin until 10.
Yeah.
And lunch starts at 11:30.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay.
I think they like to visit.
Is that my nap time? Yeah. I'll just come back up here. You can go to lunch with everybody. I'm going to come back up here and take a nap.
I think they like to visit.
Okay. I'll visit up here during nap time. You can text me.
What time are you going to bed?
What time do I normally go to bed? Around 1 in the morning.
Dear God.
No, I'll go to bed now. I'll be quiet. I'm fine.
Okay.
I'll be good.
I mean, I can sleep through anything, so it doesn't really matter.
No, it's all good.
No, I mean, I truly can. I can sleep through anything.
I'll go to bed.
Okay.
It's good.
I'm just saying.
Then there's beginners, identifying and remembering queen events.
Dr. Was Jamie Dr. Ellis. Yep.
Okay. Starting and operating a sideline.
Right. Oh my gosh. Okay. So let's talk about this for a second because I got confused. I did a presentation the other day and I was trying to decide what classification I was.
What do you mean?
So a hobby beekeeper is someone who...
Well, I don't know. I think that's like there's different opinions. On
right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. So, but let me hear your
Googled
opinion.
It. I Googled it too.
Okay. Because everything on Google is right.
Right.
Okay.
So a hobby beekeeper obviously is someone who does it as a hobby and, you know, doesn't care if they make money or isn't in it to make any money,
so
really.
So it's not at a level?
What do you mean?
I don't know. The size?
Oh, no. Well, I think hobby is like 50 or less.
Okay.
So I thought Sideliner was up to 300 and then.
Yeah.
And then commercial was after that. However, Sideliner is when you have another job and your beekeeping business is a sideline business.
Oh.
It's not your C.
Huh. I thought it was 300. Yeah, I thought that. Well, maybe we're talking about two different things.
Sideliner, I always heard was 300, but think about the word sideliner.
About the word sideliner, yeah.
If you go by the, unless you say that my bee removal business is my main job and my.
Well, then you're commercial.
Beekeeping is sideliner. Right. So
you're
that's
commercial.
What I said. Then do I qualify as commercial because I do it for a living?
Well, through that definition, you do.
I know. I'm so excited that I chased Matt down.
What are you going to do? I'm not going to be able to sit with you anymore.
I chased Matt down through the house.
I'm a master craftsman, and I'm a commercial beekeeper, and I'm hanging out with this lowlife from Wells Point.
Oh, my gosh. Well, then I read another one that said you had to have 300 hives, which I'm almost there, but not quite. Although, with this heat, I'm getting further away from that number.
I think we all are.
Yeah. So, I was like, So, what I called myself is a professional beekeeper for the presentation. So that I didn't get in trouble.
It depends on where I'm at.
Professional beekeeper is what I call myself.
Oh my gosh, like a professional exterminator.
Okay. Sure. Because I was like, I don't know where I fit anyway.
Oh my gosh.
An interesting thing happened to me this week.
Okay.
Which has happened more than once. And it's always slightly unnerving.
Oh gosh. What is it, drama?
Oh, not my drama. What we do, bees on other people's property. We drive around in the rural parts, and because they're usually big ranches or bigger properties. And so we drive around in rural parts. And occasionally we run into people who are not the property owners who want to know what we're doing and why we're there, which is fine. But sometimes they get a little policey. And instead of asking us why that we're there, they just tell us we're not allowed to be there and that we have to leave and we're not actually on their property and they don't have any. They shouldn't be saying that to us, but.
Well, no, they shouldn't.
And then they get upset.
But then you're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
We're usually in the middle of nowhere. Uh-huh. And you deliver bees in the middle of the day. I don't do that. So I'm either there first thing in the morning or I'm there very late at night after.
Well, I do that too. I mean, sometimes I do. So, I mean, I've been to people's properties 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
But usually the people meet us or know we're there. Usually it's a pretty easy on off. Both times that I got yelled at, I was on the, like in an easement.
Yeah, you were really close to their property when they were wanting to know why you were there.
Well, it's really funny that both times that people, and this isn't a why are you here? This is people screaming at us, calling us names, swearing at us, like driving up and swearing at us and screaming at us, blocking us in, calling the cops, like crazy behavior.
Yeah.
I'm not talking people saying, hey, what are you doing? No, not that at all. I'm talking absolutely crazy behavior. So
that is crazy behavior. And that's totally uncalled for.
And both times they said that we blocked their access to their house. And both times we were nowhere near their, you know, blocking them. One lady faked a heart attack.
What?
She said that we were so distressing to her and that we had blocked her driveway. We were probably 40 feet away from her driveway on the other side of the road. She called the police. She said that we were blocking her driveway. She called her neighbor. Her neighbor came flying over, blocked us in. Her neighbor said we were releasing wildlife, cooking meth because we had our smokers, starting wildfires and dumping garbage, blocking the neighbor, trespassing. And
did the police come?
Oh, yeah.
What?
She had us blocked in. We couldn't leave.
What'd the police do?
They said, do you have to come? We were accessing the property through a certain road. And they said, is this the only road that you can access the property on? And we said, no, because the property owners came out with us. We're all standing there with the police. And this woman is screaming. And this other lady's faking a heart attack.
The property owner was there?
Uh-huh.
No way.
Oh, yeah, the property owner. We're all standing there. And she's just.
And watching this crazy. And so
she's
instead
like
of
salivating
dealing,
like she's rabid.
Instead of dealing with the crazy lady, the crazy Karen.
What? Who?
The police.
Oh, no, no, the police came.
They just want you to go somewhere else?
No, they talked to her, and she pulls out a laminated, like, poster board-sized copy of the property line.
Oh, gosh.
She wasn't even, we weren't even near her property. We were close to this elderly lady's property, and she called the neighbor across the creek, who came running over, blocked us in, had this laminated poster board of the property lines. And because she was so rabid and insane, that the police were like, they came and talked to us and they said, we know you're not doing anything. You're obviously in bee suits. We know what the smoker is about. You're doing nothing wrong. Just to save peace, can you come through a different entrance? We said, yeah. Because then we just had to drive across the field instead of parking like across the fence from where the bees
were. Gonna be?
Yeah, I was popping over the fence instead of driving through all the fields. But it was the middle of the day. That was the bees that had already been there.
Oh, you were just trying to do an inspection?
Yeah. So I would just
was it her fence?
No. No. We were across the road and down the ditch from her property. But she pretended to have a heart attack. They called the fire department. The fire department comes. The guys jump off the fire truck and start running. And the police turns to them, puts his hand up and says, no, it's okay. We don't need you.
Oh.
And jumped back on the fire truck and drove away.
Oh, my gosh. I hope she gets a ticket.
No.
I hope the city finds her.
No, they did. It was out in the county.
That's worse. It's double.
Yeah. So that was one. So the other day, we had another lady. Same thing. You're blocking my driveway. Said we were swearing at her. We were trespassing on her property, which we weren't. We were not on her property. We were not blocking her in. People are crazy.
You were right next to hers, though.
We were on an easement.
You were on the easement. Yeah.
But we'd been there maybe 2 minutes, and we were looking at a fence line.
She's like, got to have a camera. She had to have a camera down there.
No, I think she was actually leaving because she had her kids all in the car. Anyway, so does that ever happen to you?
No. The day that I called you, no, you called me. And no, you texted me the day that I was doing the removal.
The water meter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That lady came out. I do water meters for the city.
Oh, and so you were on.
So I'm on people's.
You're on their lawn.
I'm in people's lawns.
Right.
But I don't ever knock on the door.
Oh, I do. I let them know I'm there.
Yeah. So she came out and asked me what I was doing.
But she wasn't crazy.
She came out with an attitude until I explained who I was. And then we had a great conversation because I am a part of the women's club. And she knows everybody in the women's club. And now I'm her favorite person. So it was a very nice conversation. But when she first came out, she wanted to know what I was doing in the middle of her yard.
Sure. Oh, I didn't even tell you this. So
it's a great, you know, the when it gets hot, I just wear my, for the water meters, I just wear my hat and with the screen on it. And that's all I had. So I don't know why she was asking me what I was doing.
Right. What are you doing? The other day, Matt drives down the road and he calls me and he says, come outside. So I went outside. He said, look down the road, see where my car is parked? I said, yes. And he said, a swarm just flew over me and is going into this water meter right to my left. And he points out the window. And I said, oh, okay. Well, it's three houses down. It's a lady that's lived there as long as I have 20 years, but I just have never met her. And she wasn't home. So I just walked on down there and started taking the bees out of the water meter. And oh my gosh, that queen hid and hid and hid and hid. But since it was down the street, I left it and I went back and I left it and I went back. Tried to get them to go in the box because I took all the comb. So at one point she was home. So I did go up to her door and she was so, oh, thank you so much. I'm like, this is why I'm on your property. And again, I was on the easement. I was in the ditch, but I was like, this is why I'm here. She was so sweet. She was excited. And then I got to meet her and we talked for a minute, but
that's cool.
Most people are like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what you get the majority of the time.
The crazy people never get a chance. The problem with them is you never get a chance to talk to them. Like they show up mad. They show up in crazy mode.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're.
And then by the time
instantly.
By the time you try to respond to them, they're kind of hysterical.
Yeah.
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 You're like, no, talk to him.
Yeah, and we're just sitting there.
I don't think I've ever had anybody. I can't remember. Nothing is coming up right now.
Yeah.
That's been that. No, well, the only thing I can think of is that lady that drove down my driveway that one time a couple of years ago. She drove down my driveway at my house, at my property.
Uh-huh.
And said, I have a bee problem.
Okay.
She did. Not me. She did.
Uh-huh.
And I said, okay, what's going on? She said, well, they're getting in my house and they're all over my property and my kids can't play outside. And I need you to come do something about it because it's your bees.
Oh.
And I said, well, I know a lot of other beekeepers down this road, and I know there are some leases, so there's some management going on. I can't guarantee that they're my bees, but I'm happy to try to help you alleviate the issue so that your kids are safe. Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell me a little bit more about your property. What are you doing with your trash?
Right.
Oh, well, I've got aluminum cans for recycling out my yard. Okay, well, you've got to remove those. I said, okay, and how are they? What do you have outside? What do you have inside your house? The bees want to come and eat. Oh, well, we keep this stuff out. I mean, she just kept, everything I asked her, there was something that was enticing right. The bees to go there.
Right.
Well, you got to clean that up. Well, what do you mean I got to clean that up? I said, look around my property. There is no trash. There are no aluminum cans. There's no recycling. There's nothing. Got 100 hives back out there.
And I don't have any bees up here.
We're up here talking. I don't have an issue. So she wasn't too happy about that. You just have to keep your property clean.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Keep your recycling picked up.
Right.
Rinse your Coke cans out. I don't know.
Well, yeah, that's like my neighbor behind me had a pool. Your bees are over here. I'm like.
Yeah. Okay. So there was an article and I didn't read it. How do you keep bees from going in someone's pool?
Well, I try to put a water. The problem is I try to identify which direction they're coming from. And then I put a water source between the pool and the direction they're coming.
Is that alleviating the issue? I mean, would that, if I had read the article, would that have been the whole?
Oh, I don't know what the article is about. But that's been something I've done because we have a lot of trouble with snow cone stands.
Yes.
And what I told them to do was to put some bird baths. You know, I looked at where they were coming from and I could see the direction they were coming from. And I said, so put some bird baths, you know, 40 feet away. And even you can even put some sugar water in there. I mean, it's not really the beekeeper is not going to be happy with you, but I understand you're trying to keep them away. And so they'll go to that and they'll not make it all the way to here.
Yeah.
And they were like, OK. And then I said, empty your trash, clean your trash.
Yeah.
But they're bothering people as they're eating their snow cone.
OK.
And I said, you can buy the spray, but it doesn't last very long.
Yeah.
So
I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, that was an interesting occurrence that I had.
Yeah,
that
it's probably not a good week. It's too hot outside for that.
Yeah.
She shouldn't have rolled down her window.
Yeah.
It's too hot for that.
So I wanted to also talk about, are you doing mite treatment?
Have I been doing them? Yes.
Yeah, me too.
If I'm not pulling honey off of mine still, because I am, I don't even.
Still?
Look. I don't want to talk about my bee life this
still.
I don't want to talk about my bee life this year. I'm so out of control.
That was not a judgment still. I've pulled all mine, but I'm going back and putting my, you know, checking to see if they need feed and giving them mite treatments. And I found the most interesting thing this week.
What?
Let me give you the setup.
Okay.
Two deep boxes. So two brood boxes, two deeps.
Yeah, you don't normally run that.
No. Well, so when I have a strong hive, and then it needs like a super, but I'm not going to pull honey from it, like it's too late. Then I was putting deeps on them to get them ready to possibly go this winter.
Oh,
to go okay. to. So I was kind of doing cool. a setup. Look at that. Look at me.
Look at you being all organized.
So I opened this hive and it is covered in webbing.
Oh, wait.
So two deeps, and I mean covered, and not just a little bit.
No, it looks like cotton.
Yes, like cotton candy.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So I'm like, oh, shoot. This hive is.
I'm sure you didn't say shoot.
I'm trying to remember the family show. So, oh, shoot. So I pull out a frame, and the top part has wax with capped honey, maybe about 2 inches, and the center is covered in wax moth. They're like little cocoons, like 40. Okay.
Okay.
And I'm like, weird that there's capped honey and then the cocoons. And I thought, well, this hive must have just been weak and the wax moth moved in and they've just abandoned it or whatever. And there's still bees in there. I thought, oh, they're just robbing it, right? Obviously there's honey here. I pick it up to look in the bottom box. The bottom box is just completely wax moths. Wax moths are literally flying out of it. And it is just disgusting. Okay, so I pull that off. So I put the other box back down and I start to clean out the one that had a little bit of honey. I'm looking a little further in it. There's a brood. There's an active hive in there.
Huh.
And and also an active wax moth infestation.
Oh, goodness. Okay, so what did you do? What would you do?
What would I do?
Please tell me you cleaned it up.
Okay, so here's
please
the
tell
deal.
Me you please tell me you took the time to clean all that out. Please, please.
Hang on. So I took the bottom one off to go take it to clean it. The top one, I'm like, so I don't like to like jack the bees too much when it's hot like this. They got their temperature, they're at the bottom, they're doing their thing, right? So I took the one frame out and I cleaned it all up and I went to the next frame to clean it up and it had brood and there weren't any cocoons or anything on it. So I was like, okay. So I scraped all the top of the boxes of the frames and I scraped all the bottom of the frames, but I didn't pull them out and mess with them anymore. I fed them, gave them mite treatment and said, took the other box.
You reduced them down.
Oh yeah. So I took the really bad box out. Mm-hmm. And I cleaned up around the edges and the bottom because it was on top. So it had wax moth stuff from the bottom box.
So you didn't remove those frames?
What? The ones that were...
That had wax moth on them?
That had the cocoons? Well, I scraped all the cocoons off.
Okay.
I cleaned all
were
that off.
Were they on... Did you check the box? The box itself? Because they're on the wood and in the corners.
Oh, yeah. No. They weren't there. They weren't on the...
Are you running solid bottoms?
Trying to remember if that one had a solid bottom, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you check it?
Yeah.
For wax moth?
Because remember I pulled the...
Yeah.
The bottom box off completely.
Okay.
I thought there were no bees in there.
Yeah.
So I was taking it apart.
Yeah, you're very lucky.
And I took the bottom box off. I put the top box just back on the stand and I was going through it when I realized I have an actual hive here.
Wow. You lucked out.
I know, because normally the way to keep wax moths and small hive beetles away is to have a strong hive.
Yeah.
And
it's like guarding the door.
A wax moth infestation is a sign of a weak hive.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was...
That's interesting that you gave them room and they didn't want it and the wax moths happened.
I don't know that they moved up to the top and then the wax moths moved in. I don't know what the timeline was on this. Last time I looked at it, they had honey up there.
Huh.
So
I had one frame of brood up there now.
Well, I only looked that far. It's hot. It's 108. I don't mess with them. They don't mess with me.
I don't know. I kind of want to know.
I know you like to go through yours a little bit more in the heat, but I just don't.
Well, if I have an issue like that, I will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but here's the deal. So I kind of agree with you. Like if I see a hive that I'm not sure what's going on, I will start pulling it apart to see if there's a queen or what's going on. If it's, you know, declining instead of thriving and possibly do a merge or whatever. At this point, I was so flummoxed by the whole what was going on. I thought, well, you know what? My feet should get rid of the mite. We'll figure out what's going on later.
Hey, I went and helped somebody do some management on their hives.
Uh-huh.
They felt like they needed somebody out there to go through them with them.
Uh-huh.
They were feeling a little unsure.
Uh-huh, sure.
So I met them at their property and they ended up having two hives. One was in a horizontal, one's in a double deep.
Okay. So a horizontal hive is a Langstroth. It uses the same frames that we use in the regular hives.
And the boxes it stacked. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, the boxes
it stacked. But it looks like a casket.
But this looks like a casket. It's on the legs and it's waist high.
Mm-hmm.
Top bar is the same type as in it's waist high and it's on legs, but it's a triangle.
Right. Like, it's a natural frame.
Yeah.
It's a natural frame.
And you just
where they actually draw it out.
Slats on top and they draw it out. And I'm not a fan of top bar. However,
it's a different type of beekeeping.
Yeah.
It's just its own entity.
The Langstroth, the long Langstroth is also waist high, so you don't have to bend over and you don't lift anything.
Yeah, it was very nice.
Yeah, and you just have your, but you use regular common frames in it and they don't have to build their own.
Yeah.
Okay, so go on.
The thing I'm running into with a lot of people either over the phone or when I go out and see their hives is honeybound coming out of it.
Coming out of honeybound?
Mm-hmm.
This time of year?
Mm-hmm.
Were they feeding them?
Yeah.
Okay.
So a lot of beginner beekeepers, I know we say it all the time, is when you get your hive, your nook, they say feed. Okay. Well, nobody tells them when to stop.
Right.
And nobody tells them when the cutoff is of what you should be looking for so that you can stop.
Right.
They just say, oh, you've got to build this
up. Because that hive would have died because there's not enough bees to keep the cluster warm in the winter because she has nowhere to lay.
That's right.
So she couldn't have laid any winter bees and you wouldn't have had, so you'd have a very tiny cluster and they wouldn't have been able to stay warm in the cold.
Yeah.
So surrounded by food.
It's hard. One of the things that I feel like is a huge learning curve for beginner beekeepers is management of the hive itself and what you're seeing inside and how to gauge the ratio of brood to food to see if you need to step in. And I don't think that that is talked about enough.
Yeah, you know, you can. Well, it's a dance. Okay. We talk about that all the time. It's a dance.
Yeah. So you have 20 frames. Out of 20 frames, how many frames do you expect to have brood?
It depends on the time of year.
Okay. Now.
Well, okay. I think
2 weeks ago. I mean, coming out of a good spring where we had a lot of honey flow coming out of a good spring.
It's been so hot, and I think the queen stopped laying as much.
Okay, hers didn't. Okay, so what was unusual about hers is that I could tell immediately that they were honeybound, that they got honeybound at some point.
Uh-huh.
She did confirm that she kept feeding them.
Yeah.
And she thought that everything was good because when you look down in there, the bees are working all these frames.
Yeah.
Okay. Everything's good. I'm looking. There are bees in here. Okay.
Well, they're but working honey as much as they're working everything else.
Okay. Yes. But when you start looking at them, so I start counting, you know, you open it and I go frame to frame, food frame, food frame, food frame. And then I hit one that's food, but I look at it and I go, oh, this is where your brood started. And
it used
I show
to be
her,
brood.
I showed her, I said, this was a brood frame that they're now using as a food frame. This tells me that they got honeybound.
Out of 20 frames, if it was a good queen right now, 20 frames. So I'd say a good 8 to 10.
Okay. She had two.
Two.
Yeah.
Now, see, some of my queens are shutting down from the heat.
Okay, but that's too much shutting down.
Yeah.
Okay, shutting down to me would be 5.
Yeah.
4. Okay, I could say, okay, we've shut down.
That's out of 20.
Yeah, out of 20. Out of a double D.
Yeah.
Okay. But the ratio of food to brood is off. And the only thing I can think of with a good honey flow and seeing the markings of where the brood was on the frame, and now it's a food frame, is that it got honey bound, but they were eating it. They were on that frame trying to make it empty because here it is very hot. And I said, don't feed them anymore.
Right.
Don't feed them anymore. Let them have this space so that she can lay eggs. And I tried to explain that this is a brood frame and what you look for on a brood frame. Uh-huh. You know, it's stained.
Yeah.
That oval is there.
Yeah, you can easily tell that football shape.
Yeah, so if you had brood there and then all of a sudden you have food in there, something's off.
I had a guy call me down south, Texas, and people call me because they see me on the Master Beekeeper website. And he had a guy that they wanted that gentleman to show them, mentor them how to keep their bees.
Okay.
So the guy showed up every 2 weeks, drove straight out to the bees, worked the bees, sent them an invoice, told them to keep feeding and drove away for 2 years. The gentleman said, I know as much today about my bees as I did the day I got them.
That was a mentor?
Well, and that's what I told him. I said, your communication is off. that gentleman's
not
mentoring you. He's managing your bees.
He's managing your bees for a fee. Yeah.
And I said, so somewhere you got off in your communication. And
or
so,
what? Okay. Yes. Whatever. Whatever you want to call it.
Sure. Somewhere there's a bit of miscommunication. I'm not going to trash the guy because he is taking care of the bees. Absolutely. Coming every 2 weeks.
Yeah. But he's getting paid for it.
Right.
Okay. Well, mentors don't get paid.
No. But I'm just saying he's, as a bee manager, he's managing the bees and he's doing a great job. He shows up every two weeks.
But he wanted them to feed them for 2 years straight.
He replaced the queen. And just sent him an invoice for that. And they're like, well, what's the extra invoice? And he said, oh, I replaced your queen.
Okay.
And the guy's like, but he didn't tell me why. He's not teaching me anything. And I wanted him to teach me something. And I'm like, okay, miscommunication here is I'm going to give everybody the benefit.
Have you called him?
Yeah, they did. They fired him.
Oh, they didn't have a conversation with him?
I don't know. I didn't really get into that. I think they did. They may have. But anyway.
Man, we went from 180 to 180 right there real quick.
right. And I said, whatever. For whatever reason, your goal is different than what he's doing. And so you need to find someone else to help you. And I said, the first thing you do is join a bee club and, you know, all of that. And he lives close to a mutual friend of ours. And I happened to be having a meeting with her. And I said, hey, did this guy call you? And she goes, yeah. And I said, do you live close to him? And she said, yeah. And I said, here's what's going on. Would you mind going over there? And he's willing to pay you for a visit. And she said, oh, of course. So she went right over. Within a couple of days, the guy sent me a video smiling from ear to ear, holding up his frames.
Aww.
Because this is what had happened. He was feeding and there was a robbing situation. He found a lot of dead bees in the top and he was afraid those were his bees. And I said, did you go in there and look? Well, I'm kind of afraid to. I'm afraid all my bees are dead. And I said, well, are your bees coming and going from the front? Yes. And he said, my bees kind of always attack me when I get near. And I said, well, do you smoke? And he said, no, the guy who manages my bees told me not to. And I said, okay, the first thing you need to do is learn
to not use a smoker.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I said, so now all of a sudden I'm having a different opinion of this gentleman. And I said, well, that you need to start practicing lighting your smoker now and just learn how to use it and then go out there and check your bees. So he said, okay. And we got to talking more and more and more and more. And he said, I'm just so worried that my bees are dead because of the amount of dead bees at the top. And I said, those top feeders are meant for the bees to come up from the inside. And unless there's a malfunction, those are probably robbing bees and it's probably okay. So then, you know, he's talking. Then he was telling me that he's feeding for 2 years.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, fire that gentleman like that and join a bee club and get a real mentor. And then, you know, our friend came over and again, pictures of him holding his bees, smiling from ear to ear, brood, bees. Kid was happier than you could ever imagine.
Aww.
And I'm like, there you go,
there you
buddy.
Go.
You know, I feel like I really helped someone there.
Yeah.
What a sweetheart.
Yeah. So you can just forget about that Karen in the easement.
Right. Because there I am helping people. Lovely people.
Yeah. How nice.
Yeah. So it's been a weird week.
It has. It's the heat.
Yeah. I think
we're
so.
All done.
Yeah.
We're done.
Yeah. I am so glad to be here, though, in Louisiana, even though it's still hot here.
We went through rain.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
I haven't seen rain in months.
The temperature dropped from 106 to 95 in about 5 minutes.
And then it went back up.
Yeah, but, then it went back up, but it went down.
Right. And I could smell it. I said, oh, my God. You know, do you ever watch Hocus Pocus? And there's three witches. And the one's like, I smell children. I smell children. I'm like, I smell rain, Rebecca, through the vents of the car. And it was.
Yeah, it was awesome.
But yeah,
that was great.
Pretty cool.
For 5 minutes. It was wonderful.
That. So we're going to learn new stuff all about bees.
Yeah. Dr. Jamie Ellis is going to be here, which is
would
really
you recommend
neat.
That people go to a conference?
Yes.
Would you recommend at any level of beekeeping that people would go to a conference?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Conferences are good. Conventions are good.
Mm-hmm.
I really like it. I think it gives you a lot of information. It's great to be around other beekeepers. You're not going to irritate anybody by talking about your bees.
Right.
They want to hear about
That's
them.
That's what I think,
it's
too.
It's awesome.
When your family's tired of hearing you talk about bees, go to everybody there wants to talk about bees.
Yeah, when we came back in from dinner, everybody was in the lobby and all I heard was beekeeping and bees. And
oh, really? Did you see a bunch of people in the lobby?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
They're coming.
Oh, yay.
Yeah.
How exciting.
And everybody
is this?
Was using the stairs and I thought, yep, we're beekeepers.
Yeah, a bunch of old farmers. Well, this is where I have to like tell the truth that I took the stairs going up, but after we came back from dinner, I couldn't use the stairs because I fell in the parking lot.
I didn't think you were going to mention that.
I did a whole knee plant and twisted my ankle.
Oh, you did a roll.
Oh, is that what I did? Okay. So I guess I planted and then rolled.
Keys went flops.
Right, they did. It's fine. You can laugh at me. It's fine. I hit a rock. I hit
a
small pebble.
I'm laughing because you yelled at me because I was worried. You're like, get away. Go to the car.
That's because you were kind of making a big deal and I was trying to pretend it didn't happen. I was trying to be like, just nothing to see here. Keep moving. And you're like, oh my God, should we call the paramedics? And I'm like, that's when I said, get in the car and shut up. You also wanted me to sit in the middle of the parking lot and take a minute. And I said, I don't need a minute. Just going to.
I'm sorry.
This didn't happen.
I didn't think you were going to be able to get.
Oh, man. Is that why you wanted to call the paramedics? So you think it helped me get up?
No, I didn't think that. I thought you were hurt. I didn't think you were going to be able to get up. I was trying to be nice. You were get the freaking car. Go to the car. Shut up.
And then my daughter called and said, when she falls, she gets really mean. And Rebecca was like, she was mean. She yelled at me.
Yes, you did.
Because I want people to stop looking at me.
I felt like I was 10 years old. Get in the car.
Well, stop looking at me. This didn't happen. Okay, so I have to tell a story. My bestie friend, we are in Canada and we're on bikes and we have no business being on bikes. We're old women. And I'm in the front and we're going down a boulevard similar to, I'm sure, in LA. What's the beach where everybody...
Venice?
Yeah.
Venice rolls, Beach?
Yeah, the rollerblades and all. So same thing. Benches, people everywhere. I hear this... And I look backward. I stop my bike and I look back. And my friend is tangled up on a bench with a bike around her and these two very handsome, buff young men.
She did on purpose.
Yeah. Come over and they're like, "Are you okay, ma'am?" And she's like, "You get the bleep away from me."
Oh my gosh.
And she's like, so the rule is you just don't acknowledge. Nothing happened.
I had no idea.
If I need to go to the emergency room or call the cops, I will, or the
Your
the
ankle ambulance. Is swollen. Wow. And we have to walk all day tomorrow.
It's fine. We're in the same hotel as the convention. It'll be fine.
And you're acting like everything's okay.
It's fine.
It is not okay.
It is barely swollen. It is fine. Barely. I don't think you understand how my parents raised me. Barely swollen. You're fine. Just put some Tussin on it. It is fine. Rub some Vicks on it. It will stop hurting sooner or later.
Okay.
So, yes.
Okay, bye.
Well, I'm not sure that ended well or not. Rebecca has left the building, and I will see y'all in the bee yard.
You've been listening to the To Be or Not To Be podcast. For more information, you can follow Rebecca and Michelle on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at To Be Podcast. Thanks for listening, and have a beautiful rest of your week.